When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Odell Beckham Jr. made the catch with one hand for the touchdown. Wow, what a catch by the rookie.
Ridiculous.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
To give you that Nas song, please. I mean, this is a Nas one too, but I gotta get that Stillmatic intro. Maybe tomorrow, the last show before vacay, we'll get that going at 4 a.m. Anyway, while you were sleeping, where do we begin? Well, we started with the Knicks and their loss last night. Another infuriating way to end a game. Are you surprised by now? I mean, it's the same song and dance for how many years here, where even though the Knicks are a solid team, and certainly in comparison to what they used to be, they still can't figure out how to close out a game or run a final possession. I mean, it's comical. What do you have Jalen Brunson for if you're not going to use him on the final possession of the game? Why give the ball to Julius Randle, who, yes, has been great this year, but has been a turnover machine? And again, at the end of regulation with a chance to win it, Randle takes it right into a double team, messes everything up, game goes to overtime. Lakers take over. They dominate. They end up getting the win in what was an electric atmosphere at the world's most famous. And it just shows you, man, it's sad. If the Knicks were actually good, imagine what that place would be like. They're so starved. Knicks-Lakers, though, big draw for LeBron. First time he's been back at the Garden, I think, since 2020. He gets a triple-double. Magically, LeBron and Anthony Davis were healthy enough to play last night, where the night before in Brooklyn, they were not. Need a little rest, a little maintenance day. And it's sad. Patrick Mahomes running around on a busted ankle. These guys got a little boo-boo, and they can't play in these games. Anyway, Lakers beat the Knicks. We started the show talking about that. And just overall, that the Knicks are in the worst spot you could possibly be. They're too good to not get a top draft pick, and they're not good enough to win a first-round series. That's exactly where you don't want to be. And the reason why they're there is because R.J. Barrett, first and foremost, is not doing his job. Knicks last night were 7 of 34, I think, from downtown. Barrett was 0 for 3. He didn't even play in the fourth quarter or down the stretch and didn't meet the media afterward. I'm going to give Barrett a pass on that because he's a high-character guy, always holds himself accountable. But, you know, he didn't want to deal with yesterday, probably ticked off that he wasn't in there down the stretch. And the reason why he wasn't in there is because he can't shoot the basketball. That's a problem. The Knicks stars are B-level. I love Brunson, but even Randall. They're not, you know, they're paying these guys, Randall and RJ, to be top guys, and they're just not. Anyway, we talked about that. We talked a little about the Super Bowl, did some Giants and Daniel Jones, lots of Jets and Aaron Rodgers, potentially Tom Brady. We're really all over the place. And if you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. It's so great. You could access anything at any time on there. Go back to, I don't know, hour 2, 3. Check out all the fun that we've had this morning while you were sleeping. 877-337-6666. Let's get back to the calls. Tyler is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, Tyler. What's up, man?
Hi, Tyler. How are you?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I mean, I think the Knicks are in perfect position, actually, as a team.
For what?
I mean, we're better than if we got Donovan Mitchell. I mean,
how?
Is Donovan Mitchell really worth all those draft picks? I mean, the only people you make those draft picks for is LeBron, KD, Doncic, or Giannis.
Well, you're not getting any of those guys.
Top 10 play.
You're not getting any.
I know, but I'm saying, like, but Donovan Mitchell is not even a top 10 player.
Well, who on the Knicks is?
There were only two games back from the Cavs.
Who's better than Donovan Mitchell on the Knicks right now?
Nobody right. Is, but is he worth 4 first-round picks?
Yes.
Though?
Yeah. Who cares about the first-round picks? Let me ask it this way. If you already said that Donovan Mitchell is the best player on the Knicks, then yes, the answer is you trade those picks. You think the Knicks, with the 4 first-round picks, are going to draft a player that's better than Donovan Mitchell at any point?
I mean, our reason for an offense has been drafting better. Just look at Quickly, Grimes, even Jericho Sims. Everyone on the Knicks since Leon Rose came in has been drafting better. I mean, this isn't
how's what do you mean? Obi Toppin? How's that been?
They don't play him.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
so then why'd they draft him? They don't play him. Why'd they draft him?
Talk to Tibbs. I think Tibbs should be gone. The Knicks have no identity. Absolutely zero.
Want Tibbs gone? Really, why? You going to bring in another head coach?
I want a coach that's going to give us an identity, not give Randall the ball. He doesn't get the shot off.
What identity exactly do you want to develop with this group of players?
I want the Knicks to be able to pass the ball and stop playing isolation. You look at all the best teams in the NBA right now, it's because they pass the ball. The Golden State Warriors, the Boston Celtics, the Memphis Grizzlies. It's a team sport. The Knicks get the ball in their hands, and it sticks.
Yeah.
It's mind-numbing. It's absolutely infuriating.
But they don't have enough shooters. That's the problem. They don't have any shooters.
Barrett can't shoot at all.
Okay, and that's a big problem.
Quickly can shoot. Quickly can shoot. Grimes can shoot.
Grimes was 0-for-5 last night from downtown.
He has good form, though. He has good form.
Oh, that's nice. Good form. That's nice. Maybe one day the shot will actually start going down consistently. Now, I'm not knocking Grimes because I do like him as a player, but before you guys put him in the Hall of Fame or raise his jersey next to Ewing and Willis Reed, I mean, can Grimes actually hit a few big threes, for goodness sakes? Is that too much to ask?
I completely agree. No, I mean, he's been absolutely infuriating. Even tonight, he missed two huge threes.
Yeah, of course he did. They couldn't hit one down the stretch. He had good looks. He was missing them. He's got to hit them. He's on this team to knock down those threes, especially because we know R.J. Barrett can't do it.
But Quickly was going through these same struggles last season, mm-hmm. and then we didn't give up on him, and now he's one of our best players on the team. But it actually gets my bigger points out about how the entire NBA as a product is trash. And the main reason why it's a terrible product is the three-point line. And if they want to save this sport, they got to get rid of the three-point line instead of adding a four-point line. I mean, the only thing it is now is people standing around a line and getting the ball past him and making the three.
Right.
I mean, if you want to be Steph Curry and you want to walk up from half court and make the shot, all on you. Good for you. Only worth 2 points. And by doing that, it's going to help. Because right now, it's mind-numbing basketball. There's absolutely no skill involved at all. People just hug the line. It's not like what it used to be where these big guys can't shoot.
All right.
Like, if they want to take these...
I agree. No, I think it's a good point, Tyler, the way that you're saying it. I agree, but I have to believe that an extreme change like that would also lead to different problems under the new rule system. Would people... Now, look, I like giving the ball down low to the big fella and letting him go to work, whether it's Ewing with a turnaround J or a jump hook in the lane, whatever it may be. But... Are people going to be like, well, this is boring now? I mean, I don't want to watch this dribbling the ball up, waiting for the clock to come down, trying to get the ball inside, kick it out after you get doubled, hit an outside jump. I mean, what's...
But the big guys are different now. Like Joel Embiid, yeah, he has a post game, but he can still knock down a distant shot. So if they're going to play off of him and not let him get in the post because that's where he's making all the shots, he's going to knock down an outside shot. It's not like Patrick Ewing mm-hmm. or Hakeem Dream where they're not shooting outside. You have talented big guys.
Oh, Ewing
like
can shoot.
Is gonna... all these guys can shoot now.
Well,
Everyone in the NBA, you have to be able to shoot.
The bigs get stretched and the floor is stretched with the bigs where they can knock down a three. Okay, so I'm saying how would that then translate if there's no three-point line? What do you want to see offensively with no three-point line?
The ball will still move. What will basically happen is people won't just hug the outside line. Like right now, all the NBA is people stand in the corners, the ball gets passed around, they make the three or they miss the three, then they go down the court.
Agreed.
Each team shooting like 35 threes a game.
Right.
Now, you can still do that without a three-point line, but you're not going to get the 3 points. So it's going to encourage players to do more pick and roll. It's going to
attack the rim, right.
And one. It's going to create this game where it's like, no, if you want to be Steph Curry...
And we'll create more free throws. More free throws as well, which...
Everything, the whole game...
Right, but are they exciting? Like, are free throws exciting? I mean, who wants to watch that?
Oh, I'm not... Well, I mean, we're already getting 20 free throws a game. Is the game any different now? I mean, Doncic gets 20 free throws a game.
Right.
I mean, it's insane. It's like what the game is... And the reason why I'm saying this is because there's talks about adding a four-point line. And they're going the opposite way. They're going to add a four-point line before they... I mean, it's not like the NBA started... There used to be not be a three-point line.
Right,
like
I know.
Created
I remember.
That out of thin air.
Right.
Okay, so now they want to add a four-point line? Why are we going farther away from basketball and going... Instead of going back... I mean, it's never going to happen. I mean, let's face facts. There's no way
Something's going to happen. I mean, they got to change something. And Tyler, excellent call. We appreciate it. Get back to us. Something's got to change. But I think your extreme... or your idea is a little too extreme. It's got to be somewhere in the middle where there's got to be a balance. The two-point shot is not as valuable in today's game as the three, right? They play the percentage. All right, well, if we shoot the three more often, chances are they're going to go in, and we like the way the points add up quicker that way, the analytics. Why waste time taking twos? Especially if you're going to shoot a jump shot anyway. I mean, attack the rim is one thing, or a dunk or a layup, but you know, why shoot the, you know, deep, the Charles Oakley two-pointer? If you could just step back a few feet and knock down a three ball. But I don't think eliminating, now I would, if you're asking me, would I rather have a four-point shot or eliminate the three-point shot? I'd rather eliminate the three. I mean, I don't think you can move it back any further because I don't think that's going to deter. These guys are pulling up, I mean, near half court anyway. I find the game to be boring at times with this style. You're right. Live by the three, die by the three. I like the college game much better at times. Each possession means something. Possessions now are disrespected. It used to be if you pulled up from beyond the arc, early on in the shot clock, your rear end would be benched. Now it's like, oh, what a great shot. They didn't waste any time. They got up there, chucked a three. But I don't know the answer to fix it. And I don't think that it's removing the three-point line as much as I'd like to see it. Jeff is calling from Smithtown. What's up, Jeff?
Morning, Sal. How you doing today?
Good, Jeff. How are you this morning?
All righty. As far as paying money for the Super Bowl, back in Super Bowl 43, me and my entire family are Steeler fans, even though we grew up on Long Island. And we went, me and my 14-year-old daughter at the time, Ashley, went down to Tampa, and I paid the ticket value on the ticket was $800. I paid $1,500 per ticket.
Okay.
Flew down to my sister-in-law's house, who lived in Orlando. Then rented a car, drove down to Tampa. All said and done, the whole trip for 4 days cost me $5,500. But when you go to the Super Bowl and you see your team actually win, my daughter looked at me, like I said, she was 14 years old at the time, and said, Dad, this is the best day of my life.
Right, but you also didn't pay a lot. It is a lot of money, obviously, but nothing compared to what it would be now, right?
Right, but you're talking 14 years ago, though.
Well, I understand that. That's what I'm saying. You took advantage of it. The way that it's increased right now, it's not even feasible for the majority of people, I can't imagine.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. That's why, like, if I was a Jet fan, I would pay top dollar for, you know, especially going to Vegas.
You pay
stuff.
$10,000 for per ticket?
Listen, I'm 57 years old. If it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, life is too short. With my father dying at the age of 61 and I never saw a Super Bowl, I would pay $10,000 to go see it.
Fair enough.
Jets win.
I love the way you said it. I understand that. You know, look, if you could somehow swing it, I get it. The other part, though, Jeff, is that you don't know if they're going to win or not. Like, you got lucky.
Yeah, that's the chance. You want to know something? At that Super Bowl, when the Arizona Cardinals took the lead, okay, 24-20,
mm-hmm.
23-20, and with 2 minutes to go in the game, and Ben had to go 90 yards
mm-hmm.
in that last drive, and we won with 35 seconds to go.
It's Antonio Holmes.
Antonio Holmes in the corner of the end zone, mm-hmm. 100-yard return by Harrison.
Yep.
I mean, it was a great game, like you said. You
right, but what if they lost?
Well, guess what? At least I experienced going to see my team in the Super Bowl. I was able to go to Super Bowl 33 when the Denver Broncos beat the, unfortunately, your Atlanta
Falcons.
Yeah, okay?
Yeah.
My brother-in-law took me. He won that trip. That trip cost us absolutely nothing.
Well, you got lucky with that. I do think, like, first of all, your experience with your family, that'll never be topped, right? And that's why you do take chances like that. And thank you for the call, Jeff. Appreciate you sharing that story with us. You were fortunate enough to be in a spot where you paid the tickets, paid double the face value for the ticket, took your whole family, got there, and got to see a win. That's great. That happened to my buddy at SMY, producer Sean Gelman. He's an Eagle fan. He went the first time. And, you know, when they beat the Patriots a couple years ago, him and his brother and his father, diehard Eagles fans, they got to experience it. Can't top that. But you guys got lucky, A, that you were in a spot where you could be able to get tickets, afford tickets, and then B, had your team win. If I did that, my stupid team would have lost. They did lose the game. So I'm glad I didn't go. Because I would have had the distinct honor of saying, yeah, I saw my team in the Super Bowl blow a 28-3 third quarter lead, losers. And it cost me $3,000. And now it's to a point where the tickets are so absurd. Look, you want to tell me you're going to pay, even if it's 14 years later, $3,000 to get in? All right, Super Bowl, don't know if we'll ever have this chance again, fine. You're talking about $5,000 to get in? $5,000 for the crappiest seat? Like, you could say the same experience. I know you don't have to say you were there, but you could say, I watched the game with my family. We lived it. We sat there in our living room. We all watched it together. Rather than you leave with one other person. Because, look, at $5,000 per ticket, I mean, what are you getting, four seats? You can spend drop $20,000? And some of you guys, God bless you, have that. I would, even if I had it, even if I wanted to do it, you think my wife, I'd have to get divorced. Where are you going? Oh, I'm going to the Super Bowl. Oh, how much per ticket? $5,000? What? What are you, out of your mind? I don't know. It's tough. For the fans who've, you know, the Jet fans who've been waiting a long time, maybe it is worth it to drop $10,000 or whatever it be per ticket. But that's what you're looking at. Life is short, though. And you could get a once-in-a-lifetime experience, if you're lucky. That's a big if, though. Big if.
Argue about it. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
The final drive for the championship is here, and there's no better place to wager on the football title tilt than Superbook Sports. Superbook features the best menu of prop bets in the business. Plus, check out their special odds boosts and promotions at superbook.com. With over three decades of odds-making experience in Las Vegas, there's no better place to wager than Superbook Sports. Win some money as one lucky team wins the championship. Download the Superbook Sports app today. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, 877-337-6666. Go on to 5 a.m. CeeLo and Al have the warm-up show for you today as Jerry's in for Boomer once again with Gio. I was reading a New York Post article here through the, scrolling through Twitter, and apparently there's been a lot of talk about Hulk Hogan, who had back surgery, and people were saying that, I don't know if this was on a podcast from Kurt Angle or something like that, but people started to go with the rumor that Hogan was paralyzed from the waist down, which is, in fact, a lie. It's just not accurate. Hogan is apparently doing well and is not paralyzed, that according to one of his reps. Somebody was saying he's got to walk with a cane after having the back surgery. Just made me think, well, first of all, it's nice that he's in good health still. But, you know, even if he's got to walk with a cane, I mean, if he were paralyzed, that'd be, you know, obviously awful. But walking with a cane, not easy, but still, at least he's functioning. Not only the wear and tear that it takes, I guess, the abuse that he took in the ring all those years, but think about this for a second. How the hell is Hulk Hogan still around? Think of all the wrestlers, unfortunately, that have sadly passed away way too young. And here Hulk Hogan is, maybe proving, in fact, that he is immortal. Good to hear, though, that he's not paralyzed and doing well. 877-337-6666. Eric and Ron Konkoma. What's up, brother?
Yeah, that was very good. How you doing, Sal? You know, I did see that myself as well. And, I mean, I'm not surprised that he might need a cane for a little bit. I mean, the guy's in his 60s. Is he even 70? He might be 70.
I think he's in his 70s. Let me look it up.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, you know, back surgery is no joke, you know, no matter what age you are. So, but,
where the hell is it? Come on, where is it? Hulk Hogan, professional, why does this not come up right away? What would be your guess how old he is?
If I'm going to go oldest, then I'm thinking maybe 71, but,
Where the hell is this? Why is this? Anyway, go ahead. Talk. I'll find it.
Okay.
Why is it Wikipedia?
So,
oh, here.
Got
53. He was born in 53. So how old does that make him now?
53. So
oh, 70,
he's,
right?
He's going to be 70 this year.
Right. He'll be 70 in August.
Right, that's pretty close.
No, so he's 69. Okay. Yeah, he'll be 70 in August.
Right. You know, you're lucky. You would actually get a "what are you crazy" comment from your wife. But if I mentioned I was dropping $5,000 for a ticket, immediately it would be a reenactment of The Exorcist with my wife. I mean, her head would start spinning around.
Well, the key would be exactly. No, the key would be you don't mention it. We'd have to not mention it. You just do it, or you flat out lie. Like, there's one thing, you know, you don't want to be dishonest, of course, or deceitful. However, in this particular spot, I do think it's okay to bend the truth a little bit, maybe. Instead of saying that you paid $5,000 or $10,000 for a ticket, you say, like, oh, yeah, I paid, like, $2,500, $1,500, whatever it may be.
Yeah, but you know what? I know my wife would probably talk to someone about it, and someone who has a little bit more knowledge than she would be like, yeah. There's no way he's getting in there for $2,500.
Right. Right, or she'll just read it on the news. Tickets to get in were a whopping $10,000 if you're a Jets fan.
So, okay, but I got three quick football things. So, this one coming from Dave in Rocky Point wanted me to ask you this because you couldn't call in. You're talking about Tom Brady as far as possible landing spots. Now, forgive me if it came up already, but is Baltimore realistic if they don't sign Lamar Jackson?
No, it did not come up. It's an interesting thought. I'm assuming that Baltimore is going to, in fact, sign Lamar Jackson. But, yeah, if they don't, I mean, I guess they would be a landing spot for Tom Brady and, I guess, potentially Aaron Rodgers as well.
Yeah, I mean, they still have Harbaugh there as the coach, so mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't see why anyone wouldn't want to go there.
Well, I mean, they fit the criteria for being a Super Bowl contender if they, you know, if you add Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. So if that spot were vacant, it would become one of the more attractive ones. Yes.
Okay. Are you surprised Sean Payton going to Denver?
Well, no, because we kind of heard the rumors about it for a while. I'm surprised that. That's where he chose to go. If he had other options, if he had his pick of the litter, I'm surprised that, and I don't think he did, but if he had his pick, I'm surprised that he chose Denver.
Yeah, so was I when I read that. I figured if anything, he'd try to go to maybe Vegas or, anywhere else, other than there. But, I mean, but hey, you know, look, I mean, I'm sure they get. Well, they still have Russell Wilson, and they got pieces. They've always got a good defense and everything. So, and the last thing, now, look, I know we're all fantasizing about the Super Bowl and everything for the Jets. And obviously the quarterback, whoever they get, is going to play a huge part. Honestly, though, because it's the only team that I root for I have not seen a championship game for. I honestly don't even know how I would react if they were to make it to the Super Bowl. I really don't. I just don't, you know, I'd probably be numb for like 2 weeks until the game started.
I didn't think of it that way. So the Jets are the only team you root for that you haven't seen in the finals?
Yeah, because, I mean, I've seen the Mets win and be in it. I've seen the Islanders, win the four cups and everything. I'm not much into the basketball, but, I mean, even that I've seen.
Right. The Jets you've seen, obviously, in the championship game, obviously, but just not in the Super Bowl.
Right. I mean, I've seen them, you know, lose in the championship a couple times, you know, mm-hmm. which hurt a lot. But, I mean, if they, I really don't know how I would react if they actually won that game to get into the Super Bowl. I have a vivid imagination, but I'm not even sure I can come up with that one.
You won't know until it actually happens. And let's hope that it does at some point, Eric. And thank you for the call. Appreciate you checking in, as always. And you experience the championship games. I told you, the championship games in the NFL are the best. You know you're playing for the right to go to the Super Bowl. You know that if you win that game, all the attention is going to be on your team for 2 weeks, the build-up, and then the actual game to go out there and win it. But winning that championship game, and the Jets obviously have fallen short three times, whether it be 98 against the Broncos, whether it be 2009, 2010, they've fallen short a few times, but, man, winning that game, I'm not going to say it's better than winning the Super Bowl, but it's that, to me, is the best feeling you could have Again, winning the Super Bowl is similar to going to the Super Bowl. Just saying that you did it. That's the best part. Oh, yeah, I went to a Super Bowl. Oh, yeah, the team that I root for won the Super Bowl. But that game is not as meaningful or, I don't know, it just doesn't feel the same way that a championship game does. Oddly enough. Butch is calling from South Yonkers. What's up, Butch?
Hey, Sal, how's it going?
How are you, Butch? Good hey, to hear from you.
Yeah, I'm always listening, man. But
appreciate
watching the Knicks tonight, right? You got Brunson and you got Randle. But who's the third guy that they need to step up? You know, they need a third guy that they can have, that they can count on every night.
Well, it's supposed to be R.J. Barrett.
It's not R.J., he's not consistent.
Yeah, but that's the guy. If it's not him, they're in trouble.
They need to develop another guy. I mean, what about Obi Toppin?
Yeah, I don't think he could be that guy. Obi's just not that type of player.
Yeah. Did you see that? Did you see the Asian kid that was on that Lakers? How he was playing against the Knicks tonight?
No, I didn't really notice.
Oh, Jamari or something like that. They got him from I think they got him from the Wizards or somewhere.
Yeah, no, I'm not familiar with him.
Yeah, he was playing tonight. He looked pretty good.
Hachimura, you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching a little bit of it, but I'm not familiar with him. I haven't watched a lot of the Lakers this year. I'd be lying to you. So, I mean, I had the game on. I was watching it. I mean, he looked okay, but nothing really stood out to me.
And then you got guys like Mitchell Robinson. He's always hurt. You know, you never could count on him. It's tough, you know.
Well, I mean, that's the problem. Where you look at the Knicks, R.J. Barrett is not as good as they thought he was or as good as they need him to be. Mitchell Robinson is hurt yet again. They're, you know, those are key pieces to this Knicks team if they're going to, you know, win games like this or if they're going to do any damage or get to the postseason. Forget about doing damage in the postseason. You know, they need Quentin Grimes to step up. They don't shoot the three ball well enough. Mitchell Robinson out is a big part of what they do defensively and rebounding. You know, these are things that they can't overcome, obviously.
And if they get in the playoffs, they'll probably only win one game. And one more question. I think if the Jets get in the playoffs, if the Jets get to the Super Bowl, the ideal opponent for them to play would be the Dallas Cowboys because those fans would pay anything to get there. The Jet fans would pay anything to get to the Super Bowl to see their team. It has been so long.
Right. I don't think you want to see the Cowboys in there if you're the Jets for that exact reason. And thank you for the call, Butch. I got to believe that of all the teams in the NFL, now, I mean, I guess Cleveland could be up there. I'm trying to think of what would be the highest in-demand ticket. I mean, I know there are great fan bases across the NFL, but we're talking about a team that has been out of it for a while that finally gets back to the Super Bowl or gets to the Super Bowl. Cleveland would be one. Miami would be a huge one. Obviously, the Cowboys, probably the biggest. The two biggest have to be the Cowboys and the Jets, although I guess you could throw Miami in there as well. Vikings. I mean, there are some starved fan bases that if their team ever gets back to the Super Bowl, it is going to be a huge ticket. But I think if you're the Jets, you want to avoid having to play Dallas because that would probably be the biggest one. Cowboys Super Bowl, at this point, that ticket goes way up. Pat is in the Bronx. What's up, Pat?
How you doing, Sal?
Good, Pat. How are you?
I'm doing all right. You know, just a brief parenthetical remark about the Nets. Patty Mills and Joe Harris, if they're hitting their shots, the Nets are a real threat. Mm. If they're hitting their three-pointers like the Knicks aren't, then I think the Nets are a real threat to go all the way. But getting into Alonzo and his contract, we've really got to sign this guy. We've got to extend him like we did McNeil. I realize it'll be more money, but I can't think of...
Well, it's going to be a lot more money.
A lot more money. Well, I can't think of anyone who'll do what Alonzo does. He's a clutch hitter. He's not hitting garbage home runs in the seventh and eighth innings to tack onto a 10-0 lead.
Pat, let me ask you something, though.
Sure.
Are you worried that the Mets might not sign Pete Alonzo?
Because of Steve Cohen, you think it's automatic?
Yes, I do.
I understand. I understand his...
Like, you're stressing yourself out just to do it. You're worried that you're acting like it's the BC Mets. This is the AC Mets. After Cohen, it's different. BC Mets before Cohen be a different story. I could understand you'd be worried. We'd be talking about it all morning long. Uh-oh, are they going to sign Alonzo? What's going to happen? He's going to be a free agent. Now, I don't even worry about that stuff anymore. He's not going anywhere. No chance.
You did see what happened with Correa, that he trusted his general manager or someone in the front office that he trusted, that the doctor said that contract might not pan out. So he pulled back on that a little bit. I know Alonso has no medical issues, but what is the delay? I'm only stressing myself out because then when we hit the season and Alonso's agent says we're not going to talk during the season, then we get into the DeGrom territory.
Pat, let me ask you something. Let's say, first of all, Alonso's got 2 more years of control, right, Fleegs? This year and next year. Right, and the season still is nowhere even near starting, but 2 years of control. So he's not near free agency just yet. Now is the time to obviously be talking about an extension, which they're going to do. I'm sure they're doing it right now. But what are you worried about? Let's just say, worst case scenario, Alonso's agent says, we couldn't come to an agreement, we're going to play this out and hit free agency. What do you think is going to happen in free agency? Do you think Steve Cohen's going to get outbid?
No, I don't. I'm not really stressing out over that. But when I saw McNeil, I said, let's put the next chip in place. Let's calm everybody down. By the way, Sal, what are we going to do at DH this year? What are we going
to
do?
I don't know. See, that's something to get excited about. And thank you for the call, Pat. That's something to get worked up about. The Mets lineup on paper is basically the same as it was last year. And that's just not good enough. Narvaez would be the one difference at catcher, and I do think it's going to be a significant difference. He's significantly better than James McCann, so you're getting an upgrade there. Remember, the Mets last year had 3 spots that were really weak offensively. Third base, catcher, DH. Well, one of them has been upgraded. The other, at third base, you have Escobar. You hope to have a bounce-back year, and if not, you're going to have Beatty right behind him. So really, catcher and third base should be upgraded. Now, you look around the rest of the team, maybe there's underperformance somewhere else. Maybe McNeil has a down year. Maybe Lindor or Alonso don't do as much. Or Starling Marte or Nimmo. You know, it's not like, okay, well, everybody's going to do exactly what they did last year and they're going to get a better performance from Narvaez and Escobar. No, people will perform better. Some people will perform worse. But the one thing I cannot stand, and I'm not trying to make him my whipping boy, but I just don't understand the infatuation with Daniel Vogelbach. I don't get it. I don't care about the numbers that the guy gets on base. I don't care about his splits versus right-handed pitching. I'm watching the guy, and I see it with my own eyes. He gets on base. He clogs up the base paths. He gets up to the plate. He's looking to walk. He should be looking to mash. Not only that, so he can't run. He doesn't hit for good average. He doesn't hit with power. He can't field. So what does he do? Draw a couple of walks? That'd be great if you were Billy Hamilton. And even then, I wouldn't want it. I want somebody that can actually play baseball.
Let them have it. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Back on the Fan, going all 5 a.m. The warm-up show with Al and CeeLo today. As CeeLo's in for Jerry, who Jerry's in for Boomer, along with Gio. And obviously that'll be here in about 11 minutes or so, so we'll finish up on the phones. 877-337-6666. Just a reminder, back again tomorrow. We're on at 2 a.m. tomorrow morning. What is today? So today is Wednesday. So Thursday, which will be my last day of the week before vacation. So see you tomorrow, 2 a.m. Your calls now before the warm-up show. Bob is calling from Bayside. What's up, Bob?
Yeah, Sal, hope you have a good time in Aruba.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that. I hope
I know you've gotten into shape. You know, once in a while I tell you a Rodney joke. I have a five-second joke for you.
Mm-hmm.
But Rodney talks about losing weight and getting into shape. He says you need willpower. You know what real willpower is? When you're on death row and it's the night of your execution and they give you your last meal and you stay on Weight Watchers.
Yeah, right.
Come on, it's a funny line.
Not bad. I wish I had any kind of willpower, which I really don't, Bob, to be honest with you.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway.
How often would you say you watch Rodney Dangerfield reruns?
It's not watching a rerun.
Or listen to it, whatever
it is. I told you 20 years ago when I would get it, when I'd be depressed, I would just put his tape in. I'd drive around for 20 minutes. Suddenly I'm laughing and I'm not depressed anymore.
No, it's not a bad idea. I think I could use that. Maybe it can alleviate some anxiety that I feel like I have.
Sal, as a Met fan, you're not worried that you got two 40-year-olds at the top of your rotation?
No. What do you mean worried? Worried about what?
Let me talk about Scherzer for a minute. 2 years ago, he had a dead arm in September. Mm-hmm. Last year, he didn't exactly shine in the 3-year sweep of the Yankees and the 3-year sweep of the Braves. And as far as Verlander is concerned, he didn't exactly shine in the playoffs either.
Hey, he was the best pitcher in baseball last year. He won the Cy Young Award.
I'm talking about late.
All right. So what? I mean, he's not allowed to have a bad postseason game?
No, the wear down factor.
I'm not worried about it. I'm not. I mean, let me ask you, Bob. Why should we be caught up in the age as opposed to the way the pitchers have performed in last year, for example, recent years, is what I was going to say?
Because the cliff eventually comes, Sal.
Right, but last year, you're not talking about, there's been a decline. Yeah, you're right. Last year, Verlander, though, was the best pitcher in the American League, arguably in all of baseball.
Talking about late, Sal.
One or two games in the postseason. I mean,
yeah, well, I'm talking about the wear down factor for a 40-year-old in September.
Well, all right, what was the last series that he pitched in?
What, the Astros?
Yeah, the World Series. And Verlander was good in the World Series. So he may have worn down a little bit or whatever or not been great in the postseason prior to that, but he was fine in the World Series.
I'd be worried. One last point
on that. Why would you be worried just based on age? It's not about the age. It's about the guys that are doing it.
You're right about that.
So would you rather the Mets not have Verlander or Scherzer? Who's better than those two guys right now?
You're right. I'd like to have one of those two.
Right.
I'd just be worried about the age factor. But anyway.
Well, you're worried about Rodon, who's been healthy, one or two years in his entire career?
Hey, they're taking a shot that he pitches well.
Right, I get it. But you could say you're worried about him, too. And I like that move, by the way, with Rodon. But you could say you're worried about that, too.
One last point on Rodgers. Why would Rodgers want to come here? Doesn't he have a better shot staying in the NFC where there's only two quality teams, Eagles and San Francisco?
Didn't we just do this call yesterday?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, why would he want to come here?
Well, two things. Number one, you ask about the NFC. The Packers came out and said if they trade Rodgers, it would be to an AFC team.
Right, which you admit is loaded. The AFC
Correct.
Is low.
But
so
then,
why would he want? Doesn't he have a better shot of going further in the NFC?
Bob, the Packers said, listen to me here. The Packers said if they trade him, they are trading him to the AFC only. That means he doesn't have a choice to go to the NFC.
Come on, he's going to get them behind closed doors.
No, they're not going to. Anything's possible, I guess, but they said they're not going to trade him to the NFC. That rules out all the NFC teams. If they want to trade him, they're going to trade him to an AFC team.
But if he insists that if he gets them behind closed doors and says, listen, we're going to win our division. I'm not going to win the division in the AFC East. We're going to win our division.
No, but they, Bob, you're missing the Packers may not want him. The Packers are ready to move on from Aaron Rodgers.
For weeks, every host on this station's been saying how good Aaron Rodgers. Now the Packers are going to prefer Jordan Love over Aaron Rodgers.
Well, because of where they're at with the situation with Love and where his contract situation is. And thank you for the call, Bob. The Packers have run its course with Aaron Rodgers. They've done it. They've been down this road already before, where they thought, 2 years ago they're going to move on from him. Last year they're going to do something. And they didn't. They kept him. And guess what? They didn't even make the playoffs. It's time for them as an organization to move on. See what Jordan Love's got. Make that decision now. It's time for both sides to move on. But the Packers haven't decided yet. Maybe they do decide to keep Rodgers. As of now, the reports seem that they're leaning toward trading him. And that if they did, it would be to an AFC team. Why would he choose the Jets? You look at the AFC teams and tell me what situation would be better or more appealing. The only one that might be would be Miami. And Miami came out earlier in the offseason after the regular season and said that they believe in Tua. Now, could they change course on that? Sure. Kevin is calling from Milford. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, how are you, man?
Tired. What's up, Kev?
Well, listen, so I just got into my car and I turned the radio on and heard you guys talking about Rodney Dangerfield.
Mm-hmm.
And it just saw a movie that I've never seen with David Joe Pesci before, Easy Money.
I think I've seen really that one, but I don't remember it.
It was a really good one. But listen, as far as it goes with Aaron Rodgers, I don't like the guy at all. I think he's a great quarterback. He's very talented. He made his winnings going through that division that he did for all his career. As far as, I mean, him going to the Cowboys would be, well, I think it would be, that's the missing piece right there for them. I'm not a Cowboys fan at all.
To the Cowboys. Two reasons. You just heard me say it. He's not going to an NFC team. They said they're not going to trade him there.
I understand, but where do you see him going?
Rodgers?
And he should go anywhere, though. I mean, like, do you want him?
Rodgers?
Right.
Yeah, to the Jets. And thanks for the call, Kevin. Two reasons why he's not going to the Cowboys. One, because the Packers said they're not trading him to an NFC team. Two, because the Cowboys have their quarterback in Dak Prescott. And I do think Rodgers is going to get traded. I think finally they've reached their point, Green Bay, where they've had enough and they want to move on. And I do think Rodgers is going to end up with the Jets because it's the most appealing situation for him. Nathaniel Hackett, his good buddy. If you heard any of the Rodgers interview with Pat McAfee on, I guess it was Monday or Tuesday, Monday, I don't know. The days are all confusing here. Whatever, yesterday, let's just say. If you heard that interview, he goes on and talks about how Hackett made the room fun, talking about the quarterback room. Obviously, he had great years with him, references family. So if Nathaniel Hackett made football fun for Aaron Rodgers, that's generally something you know, fun things you want to experience again, right? Yeah, that was fun. Let's do that again. So you get the sense that, at least I get the sense that Rodgers does not want to retire from football and that he is well-versed in what's gone on with the Jets and maybe even more so now with Hackett. They've done all they can as an organization to put themselves in a position to where they would be the most desirable spot. Again, if Miami comes into play, then they're going to have some legitimate competition. But right now, with Hackett in place, with the weapons that the Jets have on offense, the offensive line, the defense, the way that played, I think if you're Aaron Rodgers, plus the New York market, that's appealing to the challenge of it. Knowing that if you ever turn the Jets into a winner, really there could be no more critics. If you ever got to a Super Bowl with the Jets, forget about winning it. You could do no wrong. I don't care what kind of hallucinogens he's taking or whatever it is that he's doing or wherever he's dating. It doesn't matter. You win here, you're going to be a sports god. But if you look at the other situations that he might be open to, they're not as good as the Jets. Not the Titans, not the Raiders. Miami might be the only one. They have weapons. They have, you know, a historic organization. It is Miami. Great place to live.
Shut up.
Please, I was waiting for the music. I'd love to shut up and get the hell out of here. You don't have to tell me twice. Anyway, we'll see if Rodgers can make a decision at some point soon, although I wouldn't hold my breath. I feel like we'll be talking about this for another several weeks. All right, that does it for us. Thanks to Fleegs, as always. Thanks to everybody who called and listened. Appreciate each and every one of you. See you again tomorrow, 2 a.m., the warm-up show with Alan Cee-Lo. That's coming up next. Enjoy your Wednesday.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, WFAN.